necessity of your vocation. And he said, out of love, I want you to get these truths. As he gave those truths, then he came to this place and said, as you try to live for God, as you strive to live for God, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have some battles. Because you're going to be in a battle that's not flesh and blood, but a spiritual battle. Because as much as you strive to live for me and walk worthy of your vocation, you still have the flesh. And that flesh is going to battle the spirit. And you're going to have a spiritual warfare on your hands because there is one who is going to be trying to deceive you. There's one that's going to have the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. There's going to be the fiery darts that are going to come your way. There's going to be things that are trying to get a hold of you as you strive to live for God. And anyone in this room that is a believer that is striving to live for God, know that you face a battle almost every day of your life. But he says, you need to do all that you can do to stand. Do all you can. You need to stand against the wiles of the devil and do all that you can do to stand for God and stand against these. He says, but I'm not going to leave you alone to stand. I'm going to give you every tool that you need so you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you can handle the fiery darts that's in your way. We talked about each of these tools, these pieces of armor the last several weeks. We talked about the belt of truth. That is a life that's built upon the faithfulness of God and God's word. It speaks of our being truth in both our testimony and our living. The belt of truth gave stability and it also girded up the loins. Remember, the loose fitting clothing, it brought it up, took it together, and everything's based upon that. And the armor sits upon it. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. It speaks of a holy life. It speaks of a life that is lived in conformity to the word of God. We talked about the boots of peace. We talked about when our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means that we're saved by grace and that we stand firm in that knowledge. We talked about the buckler of faith. That speaks about simple faith. The faith that saves us is a faith that keeps us each and every day of our lives. It's trusting God and trusting his word. We talked about the helmet of salvation. Of having full assurance of one salvation. We talked about the two-edged sword last week. We talked about the big handle sword as they came and they tried to take off the heads of those that they were facing. We talked about that. And we said there too, in our lives, the spiritual warfare is two-sided. We talked about doubt and discouragement. Doubt and discouragement are the two areas that the devil tries to attack in and tries to get into our lives. We come this morning to another piece of armor. And we need to be able to stand. And if we're going to stand, I believe this is a very important piece of armor. Up to this point, every piece of armor has dealt with defense. We are now given a tool for offense. We're given a tool to be able to attack, if you will. Now, it's interesting. There's all this protection that is given. We talked about standing behind the door, remember? The shield, getting behind the breastplate of righteousness, getting behind that, behind the door, the protection. We talked about how they linked it together, how they put it above and all that to take care of what was coming their way. Now there's times where we need to be able to fight back, if you will. We need to fight back. And there's a way that we fight back, according to Scripture. We're going to look at this tool, and then there's a secret weapon we're going to look at next week that is another tool in regards to offense and fighting back. But look with me. In Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning, you would help us to just see what you want us to get this morning. Lord, help us as we try to understand the armor of God and put on the armor of God. Lord, that we just get a hold of the truth here, that we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There are two words used in Scripture for sword. The one word speaks of a long sword, similar to what we talked about last week. The second word is the word used here for sword. And this is what we would consider more of a knife, if you will, a short sword. It carries this idea of one that the Roman soldiers would have upon them, and they would use that sword on the hand-to-hand combat, and if they got close enough to someone, they could be able to take that sword and pierce in, and they would use that sword. This is the same sword that Peter used to cut off the ear of one that we would read about. Those, we're going to be covering this a little bit on Wednesday nights. We're starting a study on disciples, and we're going to look at that a little bit there. And so this is the same sword that would be used there. The same sword that Herod's executors used to martyr James in Acts 12:2. And so this sword was used. It was used in the warfare. And this is the type of sword it's talking about here. It's talking about the sword of the Spirit being the word of God. So it's talking about using this sword. And it's talking about in a spiritual warfare. And this spiritual tool that you have is the word of God. Now, as we look at this, we must understand our tool. All right? We understand we have a tool. We have to understand our tool, our weapon, to be able to go. Now, some of you know more about this subject I'm going to mention than I do. But do you know there's different types of guns for different events and that? What you would use to go hunt certain animals, you would not use for other animals. What you use for a bear, you're probably not going to use on a deer, all right? There's different types. Some of you understand weapons a little more. You understand there's different bullets you can use. There's different millimeters of guns. There's different types, and they all have a purpose and plan. Those, let's look outside of the weapon realm. Those might understand this. Did you know how many types of shovels there are? Anyone know how many types of shovels? I know you usually don't ask questions, but any types of shovels. I found there's over 20 types of shovels that are used. Some aren't just ones that you just take your foot and dig. Some are actually hooked to machinery. And there's different types of shovels, and they're used differently. What I would use to dig out this area to build a building like this is far different what I would use to do a garden, all right? I'm not going to do that, right, Brother Rich? Are we going to take one of those big shovels and come down and clear out? He says, well, that'd make my life easier if you did that. And we could do it. But there's different tools. There's different weapons. There's different things that need to be used. We must understand the tool we have and know it. Those have been in military. When you were given your weapon, what did you have to do? You had to learn that weapon. You had to clean that weapon. You need to know how to take that weapon apart, put it back together. And some people have mean people that made you even do it blindfolded. And you had to do it. And you had to clean it. You had to shine it. You had to know how every piece worked. You had to know how everything went together. So if you had issues with it, you could fix it on the spot. You had to know your tool. We have a weapon that is given to us that we must understand and know this weapon. Now it's interesting as you look at this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what this is talking about, as we get through this and as we look at this, As we identify, as we understand the weapon that we're given, the sword was essential to the Roman soldier, just as the word of God is essential to us. Now, there is two words. I'm not going to get into huge Greek lessons today, but there is two words for the word, all right? We're referring to the word of God. There is one that refers to as the complete canon of scriptures, the logos, okay? That's the complete word of God. That's the entirely. There's also rhema, which means the utterance. That is talking about a specific portion of scripture or a specific area of scripture. So you have the complete canon, the complete word of God, that is all God's word. Then you have what is referring to a specific area of the word of God. In this portion of scripture, where it talks about the word of God, the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it's talking about an utterance, or it's talking about a specific place of scripture. Keep that in mind, because I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. And I want us to look at a thought here. Matthew chapter 4, I'll read verse 1 through verse 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of thy mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdom of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, as you look at this, every time the devil attacked, what did Jesus say? He gave a specific portion of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, 3. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 through 7 that we just read, he quoted from Deuteronomy 6, 16. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 11, he quoted from Deuteronomy 6, 13. He gave specific reasons back. When the word of God is used against the devil, he will flee. Turn with me to James chapter 4. I want you to see this. We're going to put this all together here in just a second. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." What do we see happen? What do we see take place? When the devil attacked Jesus, Jesus gave specific scriptures back. He didn't say, "Well, here, devil, take the complete word of God. This will defeat you." Now, we understand on a whole, the word of God will defeat. Don't get me wrong. But what did Jesus do? He went to specific scripture and used the specific scripture as his tool. He knew his tool. He understood his tool. And he used the tool in the circumstance that he was facing. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. We must know the scripture. The Bible says if we use the word of God, the devil's going to flee. What's going to give you victory is you take your sword in your hand and you use your sword, the Word of God. Now let's give some illustration of this. Well, some people, the devil attacks in certain areas. One area the devil attacks is anger. Do you know what? The scripture tells us what we need to do. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. See, this is the idea of knowing the Word of God. This is the idea of understanding God's Word and using that tool back. We're in this great spiritual warfare. We're in this battle. We must know our Word, God's Word, and be able to use the Word of God. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. You put on the whole armor of God by knowing the Word of God specifically for the area that He's going to attack in your life. Temptation's going to come. Temptation's going to come around every corner of your life to give in to the wiles of the devil and the trickery of the devil. We must know God's Word and use God's Word. What does Proverbs 15:1 says? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There is literally over 40, 50 verses that deal specifically with anger. There is more that deal with wrath and malice than others. Do you know how many scriptures there are that gives us our tools specifically for anger, to deal with anger? Do you know one of the attacks the devil gets in is in the lives of individuals that come against individuals and try to get in and try to deal with, you know what we have? We have the Word of God. The Word of God says, I need to give a soft answer. I don't need to give grievous words. I need to obey the Word of God. I need to use the Scripture to defeat the devil. As a believer, I need to have my speech savored. I need to be a sweet-smelling savor. It needs to be seasoned. It needs to be that way. Another area, devil attacks. We need to know Scripture. Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 4. This deals with this too. That of bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 31. The devil attacks. We need to use the Word of God, and we need to be able to use it to defeat the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What do we need to do? We need to know the Word of God so we can use the Word of God, because there should be no bitterness. There's another portion of Scripture that says, don't even let the roots of bitterness spring up in you. Don't even have it a part of your life. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be able to use that tool. There it talks about kindness. We need to put on kindness. Sometimes you don't feel kind. What does the Bible say? Be kind one another. We need to be kind. We need to refute. You know what the devil wants you to do? Hey, you don't have to be kind. That Brian, oh, he's something else. You know all the mean things he's done to you. You don't have to be kind to him. The Bible says be kind. The Bible says love your enemies. All right, so you got to love them. You got to use the Word of God to defeat this. The devil wants to get in. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know this portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is referred to as what we refer to as the love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13. And it goes through, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and am not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily rejoiced. Provoketh thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Whether there be, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What do we need? We need love. Here's the idea. Devil attacks, temptation comes. I don't want to love my spouse as I should. I want to do evil to my spouse. Oh, I would never want to do that. Now, please understand this. This is just illustration thing. Did you know how many people, now I know you're going to find this weird. I did this just for the message, all right? Do you know how many people over the years have killed their spouse? I tell you, it will shock you. Then if you did a little more research and find out how many had a religious affiliation. Now, I use that carefully. They say believers or Christians. I are careful how you put that because they lump everybody together. You understand that? Do you know over 60% of those claim some type of a religious affiliation? Wait a second. Why? Because the temptation came and they didn't know what the Word of God says. Now, some of you say, well, we would never go to that extreme. I pray you would not, all right? There's other ways to handle that, all right? You can just be mean at them and slip hot pepper in their food instead, all right? You don't have to go to the extreme. There's ways out, all right? But the idea is this. Even though you're struggling to love your spouse and you're struggling to do things you shouldn't do and act in ways you shouldn't act and be involved in other relationships you shouldn't be involved in and the temptation is coming, you got to use the Word of God that says, I have to have true biblical love and I got to love as God wants me to love. I got to love my wife more than I love myself. See, we got to use Scripture to defeat what we're facing. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse number 13. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do we. You see, you take Scripture and you use the Scripture as your sword and you defeat the devil because the devil says, don't forgive. He did that to you. You don't have to forgive them. You can hold that over their head the rest of their lives. Now that's going to lead to bitterness, right? What does the Bible say? Forgive one another, forbearing one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, even as God has forgiven you, you forgive one another. We got to have forgiveness. There are so many believers that are struggling with this in their lives, and the devil's having victory because they allowed unforgiveness to settle in, and that unforgiveness has caused many issues in their relationships, in their marriages, in their homes, with their children, and within the church, and those things. Wait, the Bible gives us Scripture. You must know the Word of God. When the devil was attacking Jesus, Jesus specifically went back and gave Scripture back to defeat the devil, and we must take the Word of God, the utterance of God's Word, specific portions, and send it back to God and says, no. Back to the devil and say, no. I must forgive. It's not saying, should you forgive? It is a command that each of us truly forgive. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, just back a couple pages in most of your Bibles. Philippians chapter 4. The devil attacks in this area called worry, anxiety, depression. Now, I understand. understand that depression is a real thing. I'm not here to say it's not. I understand there's such thing as chemical imbalance. I understand all that. But I do understand this. Many of us bring about anxiety and stress and worry upon ourselves because the devil's attacking in that area and knows that's the area that we're weak in. And knows that's an area, if we can get our eyes off of Jesus and onto our problems and onto our areas, that he's going to be able to defeat us. But you know, we can have victory in that area. We just needed the word of God. What does Philippians 4 tells us? Verse 6 through verse 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, don't you give worry to what you're going through. Go to the Lord in prayer, cast it at the feet of Jesus, and as you cast it at the feet of Jesus, he's going to give you a peace of your mind and of your body and of your soul, and you're going to be at peace with God and peace with yourself because you've given it to God. You see, the devil attacks specific areas. And as those specific areas attack, we need to give specific scriptures back. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 12. James 1, 12. Do you know every corner you turn around, there's temptations? But you know what the devil says? You have to give in to the temptation. You know what God says? You don't have to give in to temptations. It is not sin to be tempted. It is sin when we give in to temptation. Jesus was tempted, but Jesus did not give in to that temptation. James 1:12 says this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that loved him. You know what that tells me? With God's help, I can overcome whatever comes my way. Do you know, devil? You can't have me today. You know what, devil? You can't have victory in my life. Do you know what? You might be attacking a specific area, trying to get me tempted, trying to get me off track. But guess what? Greater is he that is in me than you, devil. And I'm going to have the victory in my life. It's understanding scripture. It's being able to take that sword and use that sword and be able to give specific scripture back. Go to James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil tells you need to give place to him. The devil says, well, it's not that big a deal if you allow me in your life just a little bit. I tell you, many believers try to have God here and the devil here and try to somehow mix the two together. Well, you can't mix the two together, can you? How many have tried to mix oil and water together? Anyone try to do that before? Now, it can work a little bit to a point, but not really. How many have taken boiling water and you put oil in it so when you cook your pasta, you know, you're supposed to put a little salt in the water too, and you put the oil in there, cooking lesson today, and you put the oil in there, and that helps, but the oil doesn't mix with the water. You put the oil in there because what it does is it soaks into the noodles as they're cooking and keeps them from sticking together and not becoming a lump, all right? So if you get lumpy noodles, that's how you fix it, all right? Just so you know. And the idea is this, you can't mix oil and water together. We can't mix God and the devil together. Their attack comes specifically and says, you give me a little place. I don't need everything. And what happens? The devil gets in, he takes over. The Bible says, resist the devil. The Bible says, don't give any place to the devil. Don't allow the devil any room in your life, because if you give him a little room, he's going to take it over. You give him a little room, he's going to take over. How many of you have allowed someone to stay with you before? And it was supposed to be a short time. And that short time became a longer time. And they seemed to be in just one little area when they first came and said, oh, don't let me be a bother to you. I don't really need any thing. I'll just take this little corner here and this little thing there. And then over a course of time, their stuff is somehow trickled throughout the whole house. And all of a sudden, your stuff is taken down and their stuff is put up. And all of a sudden, how you had the fridge organized is not how he had the fridge organized. And everything starts to change. That's exactly what the devil does. He comes in that little corner of your life and says, oh, I'm not going to be a bothering to you. It's okay, you can be doing this. But soon as before we know it, everything switched around in our lives. The Bible says, don't give place. We need to know scripture. It says, devil, you can't have me. I need to resist you. You flee from me, devil. Get away from me. We need to know scripture to be able to defeat back there. Go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. Proverbs 11, verse number 2. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Bible, you know where the devil attacks? From the very beginning, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The devil has attacked Eve from the beginning, and throughout history, he attacks it the same way. You know how he attacks you and me today? The same way. The eyes, the flesh, and pride. He attacks those areas. He comes after you in those areas. He wants you to lift yourself up. Our world tells you you're okay. You need to be the best that you can be. And it says it should be all about you. You should be concerned about yourself and not concerned about other people. This is the lie of the devil. This is what is being taught. You know what? We need to know specifically the Word of God. The Word of God says this. It says, guess what? In Proverbs there, chapter 11, verse number 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. You know what comes with pride? Shame. Comes destruction. Pride cometh before the fall. We need to know specific scripture. The Bible tells us that we're to be humble. God gives grace unto the humble. And we need to tell the devil, get away from me, devil. I don't need your pride. Look where your pride got you, devil. Your pride got you out of heaven. You wanted to become God. You wanted to become those things. And we need no specific scripture to defeat the devil when the devil's come knocking at our door. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We'll just do one more here in regards to this. But I want you to see this idea of using specific scripture to defeat the devil. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The devil tells you it doesn't matter what you think on. The devil tells you you can have whatever thoughts you want. The Bible says this. If you think murder, you've committed murder. If you think adultery, you've committed adultery. If you think those things, the Bible says you need to have pure things on your mind. Hey, devil, you have no place in my mind, in my thoughts. I got to think with a pure mind. I got to think on the right things. I got to do the right things in my life. I got to set my affections on things above, not on things below, devil. Get away from me. Specifically using scripture when you're specifically attacked in those areas to be able to take that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, which is the Word of God, and use it to defeat the devil and say, not today, devil, you ain't getting me. When he comes knocking at your door, to be able to use that scripture to come back. Now, as we look at this, as we put this all together, we have to understand our tool. We have to know our tool. We have to be able to use our tool to go back specifically at the attacks that are coming our way. Because the devil's right there, ready to get in to our lives. And the we must put on the whole armor of God that we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil is coming and trying to attack. We know this simple truth since most of us were children. We've seen little songs and we've said little pledges and we've done certain things that talk about the word of God, that we need to hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. We know that scripture. We know that thought. We most of the time think that scripture memorization is just for the young at heart, the young children. Do you know why many of us as older adults struggle in using our tool the way we need to be using our tool? Because we do not know specific scripture to be able to take the word of God back and have victory. We have been taught scripture. We know things, but we haven't taken those truths and claimed them and have them in our hearts, in our lives, so we can use it. I did real quickly. There's more scriptures we could have given for each of those. Gave you specific areas and some of the key areas and some other ones where the devil attacks and scripture to be able to get back and use in your war against the devil. But let me ask you, if I would hit an area in your life today, would you be able to give scripture that would help you get the victory in your life? One of the things I do when I counsel with people is I help them come to a place where they realize where the key problem is, the root of their problem is. And when they find what the root of the problem is, to come up with scripture that deals with that. And then take that scripture, write it on a 3x5 card, or on your phone, or wherever you do, and have that before you, and memorize that, and know that, and apply it, and to live it. Because we must have the scripture ready to be able to defeat the attacks we're coming. I'm glad you know every book of the Bible. You can quote it from me. Those are here Wednesday. We played the 12 disciples song. I'm glad you can quote all 12 disciples. I'm glad you can do all the different things. But you know what we need to know? I'm glad you know dates. I know you're glad what you happened at 30 AD. And I know you're glad what took place here and took place there. I'm glad all that. But let me ask you, do you know specific scripture? Have you claimed the word of God specifically and memorized and studied and applied the truths? Not that you know word for word. You don't need to know word for word, but you need to know what scripture says. So when the devil comes, you might not even know the reference, but you know the scripture. So when the devil comes, you're able to say, devil, get away from me, because this is what God's word says. And you're not going to have victory on me today, because my God is greater than you. And here's what his word says. You need to know God's word. And again, there's nothing wrong with dates. There's nothing wrong with information. There's nothing wrong with facts. There's nothing wrong with understanding Greek words and Hebrew words. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. We focus so much on that sometimes. We don't take time to memorize the basic principles and precepts of the word of God, and we don't have what we need for the battle. I read a story about a guy in the old West. Those who remember those periods of times you've read about, some of you might have been born during that time, Rick, and you remember some of that. And they used to stand back to back in the old West, and honestly, we understand that our old Westerns dictated this and showed this. And so if you research, there was similar things to that. That's where they got it from. Now they played it up a little more than the old day. But there's a story of a guy that was ready to go in a match against another person, a duel. And they paced their pace, and he went to turn and fire. And he would have won if he remembered to do something. Load his gun. The guy ended up dying. The other guy actually fumbled his gun, did not get the first shot out, but he loaded his gun and got the victory. Now, I don't condone going out and having duel matches, all right? That's not all I'm saying. Well, maybe with Rex. But anyone else know? What I'm saying is this. Who got the victory? The one that loaded his gun. The one that forgot to load his gun was defeated. You know what believers get victory today? Those that load their tool, the Word of God, and able to take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord God." Here's what God says, and I'm going to have victory because of God's Word. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, help us to put on the whole armor of God. Help us to claim the truths of the word of God. Help us to know the word of God. Help us to love the word of God. Help us to know specific precepts and principles and promises in God's word so we can use it in the battle that we face each and every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand.